Solo and Pair by Kelsey Septine. Read by Rhea 314. Chapter 6. Hasetsu, Part 6. Yuri's free skate does not go well. The first half of the program is fine, especially considering his physical and mental exhaustion. Then, as the music crescendos and he positions himself on the back outside edge of his right foot, something goes wrong. He thinks it may be the way he digs the pick of his left skate into the ice, or the way his tired thighs protest the power he needs, or the way his tense shoulders don't follow the fluid turn of his hips. Whatever it is, the result is this. Yuri's quad toe loop becomes an overshot triple. He does not land in the correct position, and his blade scrapes against the ice. Snow flies messily from the pressure as Yuri tries in vain to stay upright. Then he falls, landing so hard on his palms that pain shoots up hotly from wrist to elbow. He hisses and thinks, "I'm not gonna win." And just like that, the tenuous grasp Yuri had on his nerves is gone. After the fall, the second half of Yuri's free skate is 2 minutes of torture. While his step sequence is impeccable and he has no problems with the spins and spirals, it is the jumps that kill him. With his confidence shaken, he overthinks. And while he thinks, everything from the entry to the execution goes wrong. It is no surprise that Yuri's preoccupation makes him fall again, on the second quad, on the combination, on both his triples. Yuri is bruised, sore, and frustrated to the point of tears by the time his routine ends. He skates off the ice with his shoulders hunched inward. He does not need to see his abysmal score to know he will be coming in last. "You did your best," Minako whispers into his ear when he steps off the rink, wrapping her slender arms around him in a tight hug. There is no kiss and cry here, no division between Yuri and the small crowd that witnessed his failure, so he buries his face into Minako's coat to hide. "I'm so proud of you." "Proud of what?" Yuri thinks, a little meanly. "How many times I fell?" Yuri stays enveloped in Minako's embrace until the other competitor, a 20-year-old professional skater, takes to the ice and performs his free skate. He lands 2 of his 3 quads and all of his combinations. Yuri's throat tightens. It was narcissistic of him to believe that he might win regionals. "Let's go," Yuri tells Minako softly, as the music fades out and the other skater moves into his final position. "I don't want to..." Yuri does not need to finish his sentiment for Minako to pick up on it. She nods in understanding and quietly takes his elbow, walking beside him as they navigate past the crowd and towards the locker rooms. All Yuri wants is to exchange his skates for sneakers, go back to the hotel, and take a hot shower. His defeat has drained him of all the manic, nervous energy that built in him the night before and left him feeling hollow. This is, of course, when someone calls out, "Katsuki Yuri, please stop. We talk?" The masculine voice is obviously foreign, his Japanese choppy and oddly lilting. When Yuri stops and looks up from the red tips of his hard guards, the middle-aged man who approaches them is as unfamiliar as his tone. He has swarthy, complex, thick hair pulled back into a low ponytail and angular facial features, a sharp jaw, a square chin, and an impressive set of eyebrows. Yuri blinks, thrown out of his darkening thoughts by the other man's sudden appearance. "Yes?" Yuri replies cautiously as he glances at Minako. She is assessing the stranger in front of them with a light frown on her face. "How may I help you?" "I am Celestino Cialdini," the man says. He holds out his wide, gloved hand, which Yuri tentatively shakes. "From America. I coach at..." He pauses, obviously searching for the correct word. "At school? Big school." "University?" Yuri supplies. Then, after a beat, he says in English, "College?" "You speak English?" Celestino says. Yuri nods. Like most of his school subjects, English came easily. It helped that Minako, who spent her late adolescence and early adulthood abroad in France, understood the need for Yuri to speak English, and taught him the language alongside dance. Once he had become semi-proficient, she established an English-only rule at her studio. The extra practice had been difficult, but invaluable. "Oh, thank God," Celestino murmurs with a sigh. "My Japanese is limited at best, and my Chinese..." He gestures, an uncertain teeter of his hand. "Well, I admit, outside English and Italian, the most I can do is ask where the airport is. But what can you do? Translators are not cheap, and the university only gives me so much for travel expenses." "A dilemma we are all familiar with," Minako interjects smoothly. She takes a subtle step closer to Celestino, putting herself partly between Yuri and the other man. It is such a natural movement that Yuri wonders if anyone else could tell it was intentional. "Forgive me, but what university did you say you were from?"
"I work with Wayne State in Detroit," he clarifies. "And I apologize. Celestino Cialdini."
He holds out his hand again. Minako, more familiar with the Western gesture, is less hesitant than Yuri was in returning it. "Okukawa Minako," she replies.
"Charmed."
Celestino's grin turns flirtatious. Yuri often forgets just how beautiful Minako is, and his eyes wander across Minako's features. His gaze snags briefly on her soul mark. If he is shocked by its exposure, however, he politely does not show it.
"Are you Yuri's coach?"
"No," Minako, with a shake of her head. "I'm his ballet teacher and a family friend."
"Where are they, then?"
Celestino surveys the crowd behind them, as though expecting to see another person.
"This isn't something I should talk about without them."
"You misunderstand, Mr. Cialdini," says Minako, once her hand curls supportively atop Yuri's shoulder. "There is no one else because Yuri does not have a coach." This statement surprises Celestino. His green eyes widen, his smile slackens, and his expressive eyebrows jump up and touch Widow's Peak. His mouth opens and closes, a shocked and soundless gape, before he manages to splutter,
"No coach?"
Yuri's lack of a dedicated coach is a sore spot for him, and the direct mention of it makes Yuri flush. Figure skating is an expensive sport. There are rink memberships and dance lessons, though Yuri is lucky enough to have a reduced rate and unlimited access to both Hasetsu Ice Castle and Minako's ballet studio, as well as travel expenses and costumes, equipment, and equipment maintenance. Yuri pays for roughly half of everything with his winnings, while the other half comes from his parents. He knows that his parents would dig deep and pay for a coach if he asked. He knows that they would use their savings to do so, cut into the thin cushion they need in case there is a bad season at the inn, and he doesn't want to be a financial burden.
"No," Yuri reiterates. "Che cavolo!"
Celestino curses in disbelief. His tone is not scornful like Yuri expects. Instead, it is tinged with awe.
"That is unbelievable."
Yuri frowns in confusion. Next to him, Minako laughs and exclaims, "That's our Yuri, pride and joy of Hasetsu." As always, Yuri blushes at the praise. Minako, Yuko, and Mari all have the bad habit of exaggerating his abilities. He knows that his step sequences are good, his spins and spirals polished to perfection by the long hours he spends on the ice. But his jumps aren't exceptional for his age bracket, and he has yet to land a quad in competition.
"I can see why," Celestino mumbles to himself. "Christ, okay. Okay."
He takes a moment to collect himself. He clears his throat and runs his leather-clad hand over the smooth line of his pulled-back hair. Then, unexpectedly, he asks,
"How old are you? Still in high school?"
16, Yuri says immediately, the answer startled out of him. "I'm a second year."
A year and a half left. Perfect.
Celestino snaps his fingers as though to emphasize his unnamed point.
Do you want to go to college?
The question is as blunt as the previous one, and Yuri blurts out an affirmative without thinking about it. Though no one in his family has gone to university before, all of them opted to work at Utopia instead. It has always seemed like the next logical step for Yuri to take.
And you want to skate?
Demands Celestino.
Yes.
Good.
Celestino grins as he pulls a small silver case from the inner pocket of his fashionable wool coat and snaps it open. There are business cards inside the case. He takes one out and hands it to Yuri. It reads, Celestino Cialdini, Figure Skating Coach. In plain black font, on plain white heavyweight paper. The only ornamentation is a stylized DSC in the upper right-hand corner. The D rests atop a skating blade like a boot, while the S and C fall beneath. Detroit Skating Club.
Bloomfield Hills, Michigan?
Yuri reads the address aloud.
It's a suburb, Celestino explains. About half an hour from Midtown, which is where Wayne State is. That's the college that partners with us, with the DSC, and offers a full scholarship to an incoming student every year. You have good grades?
He's in the 95th percentile, Minako brags. Yuri's embarrassment rises, and somehow he manages to resist the urge to hide his face in his hands. Minako has always acted more an aunt than a teacher, and there are times he wishes she and his mother wouldn't gossip so much. He's even higher in math.
Bene, bene. Celestino's grin grows. Well, you won't qualify for the program until next year, since Wayne State only accepts incoming freshmen. But if it's something that you're interested in, I can guarantee a spot for you. There's more details on our website, and if you have any questions...
Celestino taps the business card still pinched between Yuri's fingers.
You can email me at any time.
Yuri stares at the card and the cleanly printed cialdini@dscclub.com. Beside him, Minako asks Celestino several more questions. Yuri, however, cannot decipher the buzz of her words through the static in his brain. He's too overwhelmed. He just skated one of his worst programs ever, and now here he is, being talked to by a professional coach from America. His frustration at his loss wars with his elation at being approached, and the opposing emotions churn together like nausea in his stomach.
Yuri,
Celestino says, once Minako's curiosity has been temporarily abated. Yuri's eyes flutter open. He doesn't know when he closed them.
I know you didn't do your best today. The timing was off on most of your jumps, especially in the second half.
The sick feeling in Yuri's stomach sharpens. He opens his mouth, to protest or to agree, he does not know. But Celestino holds up a staying hand.
Don't misunderstand me, continues Celestino. Timing is important, of course, but it is a small and manageable problem. You have to know that it is incredible how far you've gotten without a dedicated coach, and I am excited to see how much farther you can go with one. I won't push for an answer, not right now, but I do think the DSC would be a good fit for you. Do you promise to think about it?
Yuri nods. He will not, cannot, process the reality of what is happening to him so quickly. But there is no way he will not obsessively think about the offer once his brain is settled.
Excellent. Celestino beams. Very few skaters have the kind of potential you do, Yuri. You should be proud of that.
He holds out his hand for a final goodbye. Yuri takes it again, then Minako.
It was a pleasure meeting you. I hope to see you both next year.
Celestino flashes one last grin before he leaves as abruptly as he arrived. Yuri watches him go, watches him become blurry as he steps beyond the threshold of Yuri's unaided vision, watches him be swallowed by the chattering crowd, watches him disappear. Only once Celestino is gone can Yuri look down at the small card in his hand and think,
a little helplessly. Did I just get scouted? After Yuri gives Minako Celestino's card for safekeeping, he goes into the locker room and pulls his gym bag out of his temporarily assigned cubby. He does not shower, despite feeling tacky and gross. Ever since he manifested, he is extremely wary of others seeing his mark, of making assumptions, so he takes every precaution to keep it hidden. Instead, Yuri swaps his skates for sneakers and pulls on a loose pair of track pants and an athletic zip-up over his heavily sequined costume. His actions are swift and perfunctory, as he has no room in his crowded brain for the monotony of dressing. "Got everything?" Minako asks when he emerges, taking the small pull-along suitcase where he stores his skates from him. Yuri hums wordlessly and readjusts the strap of his gym bag. "Okay, let's go." It's startlingly bright outside. The late September sun has just passed its midday peak and shines white on the turning leaves. The air outside is just as chilly as the air inside the rink, but it smells sharper, cleaner. Yuri takes a deep breath through his nose as Minako expertly hails a cab. During the short 5-minute ride back to the hotel, Minako does not talk to Yuri about Celestino. It is unlike her to be silent in light of Yuri's success, which the conversation with Celestino definitely was. However, it is not unlike her to be keenly aware of what Yuri needs, and what he needs right now is a quiet chunk of time to sort through the chaotic jumble of his thoughts and feelings, from the high of Celestino's offer to the low of his awful performance. "Want to order room service when you're done with your shower?" Minako asks as they take the elevator up to their room. "My treat." The nausea Yuri experienced before his program is gone and has been replaced by a ravenous hunger. Yuri nods his agreement. Room service sounds infinitely better than going to a restaurant, like they had the previous night. He does not think he could handle the stress of interaction right now, even if it's just telling a server his order. "Knock on the door when you're finished," Minako tells him as they part ways. "Okay?" "Okay," Yuri murmurs back. Once Yuri is safe and alone in his hotel room, he toes out of his shoes and hurries into the bathroom to turn on the water. There is a slowly expanding bubble of dread in his solar plexus that he has been aware of since he left the rink. It is impossible to ignore completely, but he manages it by occupying his hands and stripping out of his clothes. His plain socks, track pants, and jacket are all haphazardly tossed to the tiled floor. His costume, however, is treated with care, cautiously unzipped and immediately placed on the thick, padded hanger left on the hook of the bathroom door. His jockstrap is the last to join the small pile, and, finally naked, Yuri steps beneath the hot shower. "Ugh," he gasps as the spray hits his skin. For a moment, the heat is unbearable, then his body adjusts to the temperature, and the warmth sinks into Yuri's sore muscles and aching bones. He sighs gently, closes his eyes, and immerses himself fully beneath the artificial cascade. The sensation of water falling on him feels unbelievably good, and the sound of it running into the drain is a dense and comforting blanket of white noise. He works on controlling his breathing to help him relax, inhaling for 5 seconds, holding for 2, and exhaling for 5. Yuri does not know how much time passes as he stands there before he feels steady enough to reach for the shampoo. It could have been a minute, it could have been 10. He lathers his hair twice, first for the worst of the hair product and sweat, and again for the stubborn traces. When he washes his body, he does not bother with a washcloth. He merely grabs the hotel's complimentary soap and runs it over every inch of his pinked skin. As he washes, Yuri also catalogs his bruises. The biggest ones are on either side of his hips, while smaller ones bloom on the thin skin beneath his kneecaps. They are all tender and newly red, but Yuri, who has spent years recovering from falls, knows that they will soon turn purple-blue and yellow-green. They linger for a week before they disappear, and, after they are gone, the only souvenir Yuri will have of this competition is his failure. "Well, what did you expect?" Yuri thinks bitterly as he turns off the shower. Did you really think that you'd make it to the Grand Prix series? Meet the Viktor Nikiforov? Impress him with your skating? Talk to him? Yuri scoffs self-deprecatingly at himself, even as frustrated tears prick at the corners of his eyes. Yeah, as if. In secret truth, Yuri had hoped that he would rank high enough to make it to the first international preliminary. In even sillier truth, he had hoped that he might have the chance to finally meet Viktor, and daydreamed up 1,000 different scenarios for how it might happen. Maybe they would run into each other in the locker rooms. Maybe he would catch Viktor's gaze on the ice. Maybe Viktor would see something special in Yuri's skating and seek him out. Or maybe Viktor would simply see him and stop. And Viktor, talented, beautiful, wonderful Viktor, would smile at him and know. Yuri jerks his hand from his chest and rips his absent gaze from his blurry reflection in the fogged-up mirror. He had been gently knuckling at the center of his soul mark as he thought of Viktor, and the implications of that make guilt join the shame and frustration already churning in Yuri's gut. It's one thing to imagine what it would be like to meet his idol, but it is another thing entirely to imagine that they might be more. Can't even land a stupid quad, Yuri berates himself. He thinks darkly of his flubbed free skate and mutters, or any jump for that matter. Embarrassed and angry, both for his poor skate and his useless imaginings, Yuri aggressively dries himself off with a couple of stiff hotel towels and exits the steamy bathroom. He yanks a pair of sweatpants and a turtleneck out of his suitcase. The sweatpants are new and the fleece lining is still soft, while the long-sleeved turtleneck is worn thin and frayed at the cuffs. Like his shower, being covered from head to toe helps calm Yuri's tumultuous feelings. He does not feel completely stable, since it can take Yuri weeks to shake off losses, but his coping mechanisms are not ineffective. Besides, thinks Yuri, this isn't the first time I've lost, and it certainly won't be the last. And with that strange and self-defeating assurance, Yuri walks over to the door separating his and Minako's rooms and knocks. The end of chapter 6. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.